What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 3rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. My gosh, there were 38 games technically yesterday. 38! And I even need to talk about the suspended one because we got Brian Bello in there too. I mean, there's just so much stuff. Okay, so Elevator Mitch is the one I led with today. That is Mitch Keller, 7 innings, pitch of 0 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He now has a 3.08 ERA and a 1.04 whip with a 20% strikeout rate across his last 61 innings. All right, that's over 60 and 10 starts. That's over 6 innings per start, just 2 of them underneath 6, and that was a 5.1 and 5.2. And only a trio of games above 200 runs, 3-3 and a clunker against Houston at 6. So what's going on with Mitch Keller? The way I see it is that he's had more success than I expected against right-handers, where his four-seamer and his sinker, which are my biggest problems with him, they are dead zone pitches at like 94, are surviving because, I don't know, more so that the slider and the sweeper have been good in a way. And against lefties, those pitches get absolutely destroyed. So I see him as a right-handed focused one where if he doesn't do well against righties on a given night, it's very bad. And he's just hoping that the lefties don't destroy him. If he goes against the lefty lineup, you don't want to do that. And Mitch Keller, honestly, I don't think is going to continue having these low ICRs. That is the ideal contact rate. So preventing good contact from hitters, constantly on those fastballs moving forward. It's up to you. It's a low strikeout rate, 20%, right? And I just think that you can do better streaming otherwise. But for quality start leagues, I get it. You get the Royals next. You do you. Nathan Eovaldi went 72 pitches, way higher than I expected. And after going about like 45 or something in his last one. So we got a win against the Orioles for 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. That's great. We're happy about this. This cutter was so good. Noah Cameron at the tee against Seattle, 4.2 innings of 0 runs, 5 base runners and 5 Ks. Here's the thing. He allowed the bases loaded and had 80 pitches and already thrown more in that inning. And they just pulled him, which is so annoying. He was so close to getting out of it and he just didn't. And I kind of just wanted him to battle through it. Give that rookie an opportunity to, you know, to overcome that. Tyler Holson, it was a bullpen game as SGL went in the IL. Okay, so that was the Tigers and the Nationals. We have another one with the Red Sox and the Reds. Brennan Bernardino. All right, they had Brian Bello finish the first game. So nothing else there. Wasker Brazaban opened for Blade Tidwell, who went 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Just 3 whiffs, though. 23% CSW and 80 pitches. Got the win, but just 1 over 28 whiffs on his breakers makes me not encouraged at all. The four-seamer was forced to do everything. It's not that great. It's like slightly above average, but it's pretty average. So I don't really like Blade Tidwell. Christopher Sanchez did well against the Padres, got the win, 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. Just 1 over 37 whiffs is interesting to left-handed batters, but he has a really low non-competitive rate across the board, and that's great. If you don't know about non-competitive rate, go watch the podcast with The Craft with Eno Saris I recorded yesterday. Essentially, it's a 95% plus chance of being a ball. So essentially, the auto ball pitches, that's calculated by PLV. And it's a really good way of understanding the efficiency and also just how pitchers use their pitches and what's good, what's bad, a bit, how consistent they are and volatile in a start. I think it's not as valuable for an entire season, but understanding individual starts of what worked and what didn't, it's a really good way of seeing essentially what's working. And it's a nice narrative and a nice way to follow through with the guys. Nick Pivetta against the Phillies got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. And it's very kind of Pivetta to make sure his home run is just a solo home run. So that's cool. He also didn't give in with his pitches around the edges, which is really nice. And then he did high heaters and curveballs against lefties. That was cool. We're good with Pivetta right now. I'm happy that the home runs he's allowing again are solo. Simeon Woods Richardson was a good stream if you went with it against the Marlins. Got the win, 5 innings of 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. I think the slider is very questionable. The curve and splitter were not exceptional at all. And the four-seamer was in the zone a lot. The Marlins hit into gloves, and also Koufax helped out a ton. I don't think this is exceptional. You have the Cubs next versus Simeon Woods Richardson. I'm out there. He does get the Pirates after that, but the Pirates are okay now. Yeah, I don't really want to do it. Logan Gilbert, I'm trying to give him aces against ace. I can't. He went against the Royals in the tee in Seattle. 4.2 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks. It is so shocking to me that Logan Gilbert only had 2 whiffs on his four-seamer out of 26 thrown. It's just, what? How? Okay. 29% strikes on the splitter to lefties too. And the thing about that is he actually located them not competitively. It was underneath the zone, and they just didn't chase it. And why not? Because nothing else was low. It was just sliders and splitters really against lefties and some four-seamers, but those were upstairs. So it's pretty clear that they laned out the bottom, anything that is kind of middle down, batters just didn't swing at against Logan Gilbert as a lefty. Okay? So they looked up. They're like, cool, it's going to be a fastball or slider. That's kind of how that works. And then how you really nullify that is you throw tons of fastballs, or you throw better fastballs to lefties. I don't know. You see Brandon Izart opening for Sean Burke, who did a great job against the Dodgers. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, 10 whiffs, 30% CSW, 88 pitches. He got the no decision because he blew it in the ninth. Of course he did. The curveball was a big thing from last time that Sean Burke had. I was like, wait, hold on a second. This is really good. Nope. 2 for 25 whiffs. Okay. 44% strikes. Oh, man. He is at 95 miles per hour with 18 inches of vert and 7 feet of extension. That is one of the better fastballs I've seen from Sean Burke, though. And the change and slider were helpful and efficient. They weren't really well located, and I'm not really certain that he'll have that. But the curveball actually was generally located, or he just didn't get the strikes. And I'm still not going to go after this against the Jays. Maybe the Guardians after. I think I need to see more from Sean Burke still to believe this. Hunter Brown had a ton of non-competitive pitches with a cutter that was just a 35% strike rate, and he still did well in Coors. Got the win, 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Gallows pole at 17 whiffs. Four-seamer was 97, 98. Thank you so much, fastball, for saving the day. Jansen Junk got the gold star, 6.2 innings, 6 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. A great game against the Twins. I had no expectations of this because his four-seamer has really only been the thing that's worked, and that worked out for him well, but really, it was all of the secondaries. Really, the breaking balls. The sliders were great, and sweepers also against righties away, and lefties got so many low curveballs, they were effective. This was awesome. 41% CSW on the four-seamer because of those other breaking balls. That's great. It's the best I've seen in Jansen Junk. The thing is, I have no faith that this is going to be the same command next time. So I'm not jumping around and getting Junk. We saw the bad floor before. I think it's too terrifying. Freddy Peralta did well against the Mets. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts with 15 whiffs. We saw a bit of Professor Chaos here. And it was a lot of really bad non-competitive pitches, but then he finally zoned in on the fastball, and that was fine. He also got 15 total whiffs with 5 each on the changeup, slider, and 4-seamer. And that's 10 over 42 whiffs between the changeup and slider for the game, which is huge for Peralta. You don't really know if you're going to have one of the secondaries, let alone two, doing that for you. So that was the big difference maker here. Ryan Pepio against the Athletics in Tampa Bay. 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 9 Ks. He did struggle a little bit early on here. He allowed a home run early to Brent Rooker. And the 4-seamer, my gosh, I have not seen the 4-seamer act so poorly in a game from Ryan Pepio. 41% strike rate with a stupid high 19% non-competitive rate. That is essentially double what we expect from Pepio, which is supposed to be like 8% or so. Really bad. He had a cutter and a slider and a changeup all stepping up here. Yes, cutter and slider. Cutter's at 91, 92. Slider's at 89, 90 with about 4 to 5 extra inches of two-plane movement. So it's 3 inches down and 4 inches across, or 5 inches across or so. We also saw 9 sinkers as well to right-handers. Seven, I believe, were to right-handers. Pepio was just thinking, look, I can't get my fastball working. I need something else. And he tried that out, and that's okay. With Pepio, I think we're fine with this. I'm glad that he got to the finish line and had a very productive outing despite not having the four-seamer. I think that really goes to show the kind of pitcher that Pepio has become with that better cutter-slider approach. Yusei Kikuchi, speaking of which, has still had his good slider and a good fastball, honestly. It was the first time I've really seen the proper Blake Snell blueprint with the four-seamer and slider in a game from Kikuchi, while you also had some changeups and curves that did well. Just 1 hit on 20 of those thrown. And it was 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks against Atlanta. We'll take that all day from Kikuchi, and we're still going to roll with that. Mackenzie Gore went Blake Snell blueprint with 4-seamers up from middle and up against right-handers and curveballs underneath it for the most part. Some changeups there too, but man, it was all against right-handers with Detroit. Only 4 sliders and a fastball to lefties in this entire game. And this was the Tigers ready for the fastball. So 20 over 62 fastballs were fouled off. That's a 32% rate. Typically with foul balls, it's 18%. So when you see that, And he explains 111 pitches, explains 5.1 innings with four walks here. Like, they've really pushed Mackenzie Gore deep into at-bats because of this. And if the changeup was better than a 23% strike rate, it wouldn't have worked as well. If the curve was able to be more dominant, then this wouldn't have worked, right? The cutter couldn't find the zone either. This is what is preventing Mackenzie Gore from becoming an ace. He is not a complete pitcher of having the secondaries really step up and help him when the four-seamer is allowing too many foul balls, or maybe a day when he just can't find the zone as well as he normally does. Clay Holmes against the Brewers had 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Koufax helped in this one, certainly. But the Adobe is struggling with walks. This is, I believe, the third straight start of at least 4 walks from Clay Holmes. It's stark after the April and May performance that we saw from Holmes of being a little bit better with those walks. And I honestly think that he's going to be making the adjustment to get rid of them. This wasn't pure chaos. It was a lot of nibbling still, like it was in his last outing. I really do think that this is just a moment for Holmes and he will adjust. You have Austin Gomber against the Astros. Honestly, did better than you should expect. 5 innings of 2 runs. 1 strikeout and 9 base runners. So how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Dusty Donut, all that kind of stuff. But it's Gomber against the Astros and Coors. Give him props for that. Landon Roop. Oh, man. This was against the Diamondbacks, and he honestly did well through 4 innings, and then he kind of fell apart in the 5th, but it was 4 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. But here's the thing. He went Blake Snell blueprint, 2 lefties with high sinkers and changeups down and curveballs, and the curveballs were very much over the plate, were not punished. The sinker, this is the stat I'm going to give you. He had a 61% zone rate, but then a 46% strike rate. And think about that. In no world should the zone rate be higher than the strike rate. So yes, Landon Roop was squeezed yesterday. He also got a few chases too on that sinker. Yeah, so it goes. I think that Landon Roop actually did a really fun approach here, and he got burned by the ump a little bit, and also against the Diamondbacks, so there it goes. DDA Fuentes against the Angels, 3.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. He honestly did something very interesting with his sweeper. I thought that Fuentes was more of just a four-seam only. I don't know what else is there. Sweeper showed up and was very effective against the Angels. Had 7 over 34 whiffs for 41% CSW. However, 54% strikes with his four-seamer, 15% NC rate, right? These are bad marks for Fuentes, who's supposed to have the foundational pitch in his four-seamer. And the thing is, I think it will be. And I didn't even know there was an opportunity of the sweeper being good. So I'm not saying that DDA Fuentes is going to be it next start or whatever, but it does say to me, hey, look, all right, Fuentes, you have a four-seamer that hopefully does well against lefties too, and now you have a good weapon to pair with that against righties. So I'm curious how the curveball and splitter will turn out against lefties. I don't think they're very good. And I think that this is a right-handed approach that will work when you don't go so volatile with your four-seamer, which is not what you normally are. And then I'm curious how he deals with lefties. But there's more promise in this with Fuentes than we've seen so far in his major league career. We have other guys to talk about. We have Jack Flaherty, Nick Martinez, Merrill Kelly. We had so many games yesterday. And stay tuned to hear about all of those guys and more after this break. Merrill Kelly against the Giants. Honestly, disappointing start. 6 innings, 300 runs. Poor quality start. 8 base runners, 3 Ks. He allowed 2 runs in the first and settled down after that a bit. So it goes. I'm glad he got through 6 after 2 runs after 1. Shota Imanaga allowed 3 solo shots off the 4-seamer, so it was 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. He had 1 hit otherwise. That is a pretty bad home run to hit rate. And then you also have the win, though. So you're happy with it. Just know he's going to ace because, you know, you got to get more than 4 Ks then. Okay? Jack Flaherty against the Nationals. I feel like we're going through April of 2024 again with Jack Flaherty. As he went 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts. Like, last year, remember, he was just so good for, like, 3 straight months. And it was after these incredible K-minus walk games with 16 whiffs and his King Cole 36% CSW that he just didn't get the ERA and whip results that he normally gets. And this was a game where the slider stepped back up. It had been four-seamer and curveball ball doing most of the work, with the slider kind of not doing much, but the slider, 82% strikes with 55% CSW and 23% usage, nearly double the amount of his curveball, and which wasn't really there. which is cool. Trust the K-minus walk right here. It's that simple, I think, with Flaherty. I know it's been, what, four starts of disappointing ratios from him. The first two, I think he was tipping. The last two, I think, is way, way better. And I'm very much in as a buy low here. I'm also in a buy low with Dylan Cease. Six innings, 400 runs, eight hits, zero walks, and four Ks. Yeah, he had a really wild four-seamer. And he also just allowed two home runs that really destroyed this. That's it, right? I mean, sure, he shouldn't allow those home runs, and he put himself in those positions and so on and so forth. But really, like, the slider's still fantastic. I am buying Dylan Cease. I think a lot of managers are really upset in the last month of him. You have Nick Martinez coming off of the brilliant game that almost was historic. And he went to Fenway, got a win, 6.2 innings of 400 runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. And he was singled out with a 2-run shot in the 6th. Had some careful Icarus after losing the poor quality start in the 7th inning with 1 run. But he had just 1 run through 5 innings initially. And he had this strange attack of sinkers up and changeups up as well against right-handers up and in. And there was a Blake Snell blueprint of changeups and cutters. Changeups and curveballs down with four-seamers and cutters up. That's fine. He gets the Marlins in Rocky Road next week in a two-step. I think that should be one that you circle, because that seems like he's in a good enough place to be able to do that. And the hangover wasn't so brutal that we thought there might be with Nick Martinez going 89 pitches. You have Sonny Gray against the Pirates. Once again, incredibly efficient. 78 pitches for 6.1 innings. And he had one run through six, super low pitch count, and then careful Icarus showed up. And what are you going to do? 6.1 innings, 400 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Dusty Donut, honestly, because you get a 1 whip and 6 strikeouts. It's just actually sub 1 whip because it's 6.1 innings. And 400 runs... it's just so annoying to see that. He got the loss there. Clayton Kershaw got his 3,000th strikeout. Great, awesome. 6 innings, 400 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks, not awesome, right? He almost got the loss, but then the Dodgers came back in the 9th. That's fine. He did get 15 whiffs and 33% CSW, and he gets the Brewers twice now. If you want to do it, go ahead, I guess. I don't really want to. I think that Clayton Kershaw is too susceptible to damage here. I mean, this is the White Sox. And yeah, the slider is going to get some whiffs and all of that, but the four-seamer is still underneath 90. And I also do wonder, like, this is what he was aiming for, 3,000 strikeouts. He just got it. What happens now? Is he going to have the same ferocity as he's had? I don't know. Mitch Spence against the Rays. Five innings of 400 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. However, he had 300 runs in the 6th inning. For 2 home runs, and that's another careful Icarus here. Also, the cutter was way lower in velocity. It's normally 91 plus. I mean, we've seen 91.5, maybe some 90.5. This was 88.5 on the cutter, with an 86 mile per hour cutter hanging in this one for one of those home runs in the 6th. It could be a fact of fatigue going longer into games, but it's only 77 pitches. And I did like the sinker inside to right-handers, and I did like the curve to left-handers. These are nice additions for Mitch Spence. But you can't do that. You go 5 innings and 100 run, and then it's just frustrating. Also, the cutter, yeah, come on. What's going on there? I don't know. I think that Mitch Spence is a guy that can certainly develop into a Rasmussen light, but we are not really in that position of really chasing him in 12 teamers quite yet. Tanner Bibee, a very disappointing start against the Cubs. 4 innings, 500 runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. My gosh, the sweeper, the cutter, and the curve all went 44% strikes. And the only positive element of this was a 4-seamer changeup combo up and away to lefties, which is kind of weird. You had also 43% sinkers to right-handers, and they returned 52% strikes. Tanner Bibee was someone that we thought was maybe trending up, getting a better feel, more consistency, and then nope, bam, there is the hit. It was the Cubs, fair. He'll get the Astros and White Sox in a two-step next week. I do not want that. I just feel like it's just, I don't know. Maybe the White Sox won. It could be better against the Astros if he's leaning to the sweeper and he's actually able to nail it. It's just so frustrating. Speaking of frustrating, this is Jacob Mizorowski start. He allowed one walk in his first two innings. And yeah, the control wasn't nearly as good as we've seen. The overall strike rate for his four-seamer was just a 56% strike rate, right? Like, that's not the good stuff. That's the stuff we were worried about from him after, like, the 65% to 70% actually in the first three games. And what happened here is that the third inning showed up where he got two quick outs. So it's already two outs here. He walks a batter, a chopper up the middle that hits his glove. If it didn't hit a glove, it's going to go to the defender, easy out. Hits his glove and dribbles towards second base, but not quite as you want, so it's bases loaded. And then he allows a first pitch home run to Brandon Nimmo on a heater that was kind of middle-ish. It's like middle, but in the left corner, top left corner a bit. 96, Nimmo hit for a grand slam. Then the very next at bat, 0-2, fastball to Lindor upstairs at 97 is a solo shot. Like, all right. This wasn't nearly as terrible as you would think. With a guy like Mizorowski, you think it's just going to be walking everybody and that's that, right? And I think this is just, you know, you need everything to kind of go so negatively for it to work out this way. I'm very much still in. Yes, 2 Ks and just 6 whiffs and 72 pitches. Absolutely. I think that's a product of that fastball. Still, I'm very much in on Mizorowski still. Mick Abel, I am not. 1.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 2 hits, 5 walks, and 3 Ks. Oh boy. Yeah, the one thing that we thought we could really rely on with Mick Abel was fastball command. He did not have it at all. So what I am going to say, though, is that Mick Abel did well, and then it's fallen down. And the second that Mick Abel comes back and does well for 3 starts, I am so in. I will be very excited, maybe for 2 and maybe even buy in at that point. But this is normally what I say is you have success, you got to fail. And then when they recover from that, they go through their adversity and succeed after is when we start to really like them. Tomoyuki Sugano did not do well against the Rangers. And honestly, I don't think he pitched that poorly. But it was 2 long balls. He got singled out. And honestly, going 4.2 innings of 600 runs and 10 hits against the Rangers, when you don't even pitch as badly as you have, kind of showcases that you really shouldn't be going for this. Jose Barrios is the great undulator. He couldn't haul off the Yankees. 600 runs, 4.1 innings, excuse me. Yeah, that's it. You get the White Sox next. You're probably going to do that one. You know what you signed up for with Jose Barrios. Trevor Williams. Yeah, he's never Trevor. 3 innings and 7 earned runs. Okay. And Will Warren against the Jays. Oh my gosh. He allowed 5 runs and 7 runs in the first, with 5 of those coming off of a 3-run shot and a 2-run shot. And I got to say, this was a very frustrating one when the secondaries weren't stepping up. The four seamer and the sinker were not as well commanded as we've seen in recent starts. And Will Warren has not really had that game of all four of those, no, all 2 of those things, I would say, fastballs and his secondaries really working together properly. So this is really the nadir of it. I think he's too much of a talent. And I think that this is an outlier start. I know he's had another clunker. It was 7 runs, what, like 6 starts ago? Fine. But, I mean, that's the shag rug, I guess, right? The young man's floor. Still, I think the overall production you're going to get moving forward from Will Warren is very much worth your value. Those who are rage dropping right now, I wouldn't do that. And I would also look out in your league to see if someone did. All right, that is it for today. Thank you so much for going through this. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.